Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. It's Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. It is our pleasure to be joined by South Carolina State Senator Marlon Kempson on ESPN Upstate. He and Justin Bamberg are co-sponsoring a bill that will be introduced in January in the South Carolina State Legislature that speaks to an issue we've been talking a lot about. Senator Will Polonchek and Diesel here in Greenville, South Carolina. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. Great to be with you guys this afternoon.
So give us a sense of what you and Mr. Bamberg hope to accomplish by this bill, and what are you guys proposing in your own words?
Well, the bill will contain three components: a stipend based on the number of hours a student athlete associates with preparing training and game day for the sport. On average, most Division I athletes spend more than 40 hours a week, which is, as you know, it's more than American work week, on time associated with the sport. So that's the first component: a minimum wage time the number of hours. The second component is a medical trust fund. As you know, most of these athletes do not go on to the NFL, but have lifelong, or the NBA for that matter, but have lifelong injuries resulting from playing the sport. The goal is to provide $2,500 a semester, which would be $5,000 a year, no more than $25,000 in the case of a red shirt freshman, to be vested in a trust subsequent to graduation with a 2.0 and the successful completion of a financial literacy course. And then the third and final component would be to mirror California Bill 206, which recently passed unanimously by both the House and the Senate, which essentially allows an athlete to negotiate rights to his name, likeness, and image. In my view, it's fundamentally unfair for people to capitalize on your own name and you not receive any compensation for it.
That is something that I have been very much a proponent of, that last part of your proposal. Were you able to have any interaction with the folks in California, not only from that perspective, but between you and Mr. Bamberg, what spurred upon the desire to try and introduce this in South Carolina State Legislature? Do you feel like this is something that can have some traction as it did similarly in California?
Well, any movement is a building block. You may not be aware, but I filed this bill, and Representative Bamberg filed a companion bill in 2015. And at the time, it was largely because of federal court judge Claudia Wilkins' decision in the O'Bannon case, which had come out a few months before. And I had witnessed the injury of Marcus Lattimore, which sidelined him from the NFL. And during that time, I believe it was Deshaun Watson, who was playing with a torn ACL through several games at Clemson. And so I just felt it appropriate. Both of those schools are now exceeding $100 million totally for the athletic programs, much of which comes from football in revenues now. The athletic director of USC was on record to the board of directors or the governing board at USC that football is very profitable at the school. I believe the net profit last year was $5 million, and that's after all expenses have been paid. And so we are no longer, guys, talking about amateur football The PE teacher no longer coaches basketball or football. This is professional sports, and we need to call it what it is. And in our view, it's only fair that the players, who largely come from low to moderate income backgrounds, get some form of compensation beyond the cost of an education and the other benefits they're provided.
We're speaking live with South Carolina State Senator Marlon Kempson. Marlon, what are your thoughts on how to regulate a proposal like this? Regulations that might prevent, say, a wealthy donor from offering a star football player thousands of dollars to appear in an event. Are you more of a fan of open market negotiations on name and likeness, or do you want regulation where that's concerned?
Well, I think in California, what they are allowing to do, we don't envision a Helinski, the new quarterback, or the quarterback from Clemson going out in the parking lot, negotiating after the game on his behalf. I think it's contemplated that the agents, they would be allowed to procure or secure agents, and the agents would negotiate on behalf of the players, much as you would have in the free market. I don't see any difference in that in what many students who don't play football are allowed to do. If a full scholarship chemistry student creates an app, he can hire someone to negotiate with Apple a price for that app that he designed. But when it comes to college football players or basketball players, they can't even sell bottled water without getting in trouble with NCAA rules or sign their own name for a soda. And so what we're talking about is a very transparent process through licensed agents, income reported so taxes can be paid as a barter for their property rights, intellectual property rights of their own name, of their own pictures, and et cetera.
Senator Kempson, I've had discussions with both South Carolina Director of Athletics Ray Tanner and Clemson AD Dan Radakovich on this issue. Tanner probably a lot more vocal against it than Dan Rad is. His contention is that he doesn't know how the model would work. He wonders if other universities would be able to put forth the kind of monetary ability that schools in the Power Five would, and he even wonders whether or not that should be. What do you say to those who oppose this type of legislation just from a standpoint of feasibility?
Well, I understand the argument, and what people have to understand is that's an argument of self-preservation. The NCAA nor the Power Five schools or the other conferences want to change anything. But for movement in the evolution of the commercial activity associated with the sport, you wouldn't have cost of attendance stipends being paid right now. And at that point, before that point, they said they'd go bankrupt. But as Ray Tanner's own words last week to the University Board of Directors was that football is profitable. Right now, those profits go to subsidize other non-profitable sports. But if we add up the revenue proposed under the bill, this would be a tiny blip. Even in a team that hasn't been so successful like the University of South Carolina on the financial statements. When we filed this bill in 2015, I looked at the profit and loss statements of both universities. And what we're proposing is fair, it's reasonable, and I think it ought to be something considered. But I am not expecting the people who are part of the status quo and people are being protected by the system to openly want to change. But I think this is a thing of the future. We expect the governor of California to sign CB 206, and that is going to force the NCAA, in my view, to come to the table because you can't have all those Division I schools creating a competitive recruitment imbalance for the rest of the schools in the NCAA conferences. So if I'm a student from, let's just say, Columbia High School or some school in the upstate, if I can go to the West Coast and negotiate my name for dollars, then I'm going to the West Coast, even if I have an offer from Clemson. And so that's what I think the industry is going to regulate itself based on the emerging trends in recognition that we're no longer talking about amateur sports, but a multi-billion dollar enterprise.
We're talking with South Carolina State Senator Marlon Kimson here on ESPN Upstate. He and Justin Bamberg, representative from the state of South Carolina, are co-sponsoring a bill that will be brought forth in the South Carolina state legislation in the January session, and it very much mirrors what we saw in California, as we've been talking about over the course of time. Senator, you mentioned that you've had this bill proposed before. How do you think the appetite has changed in your governing body that you come across amongst the folks you see in the state legislature? Do you think the appetite is there for something of this nature to pass this time around?
Well, as much as I love my state, we are not known to be very progressive in terms of legislation. So I tell you, it was hard for me to get a hearing in 2015. I refiled the bill in 2018, didn't get a hearing. But I point to the comments of the state newspaper just last week, where the chairman of the education — these bills fall under the education committee because of the universities — he certainly recognized that times have changed, and he was open to the idea of moving forward in recognition of all the money that's now in football. And basketball. And so if we want to be competitive as a state, I believe we're going to have to move in this direction. And I think that it may not be this year, but this will be a building block that either causes the NCAA to change its own rules, or the states will just opt out of the NCAA and form whatever respective conferences that they can, where they can allow a market model to govern. I don't know anybody or very few people are fans of the NCAA. Most people think they've been sort of sloppy in the things that they've handled. This is no exception.
You will hear no argument from me on the NCAA. I find them to be somewhat very crooked. I'll ask you this only because I feel like it is my duty to ask you this. Do you think this is something that is a partisan issue, or do you think you could maybe see some support on the other side of the aisle?
Oh, we've already gotten, as I mentioned, the chairman of the Education Committee, Senator Greg Henbury, was quoted by the state newspaper as being open to the idea in South Carolina to have the majority party, Republicans, say that means there's room. There's also at least two Republican House members who've reached out to me since this discussion has been in the news. Anybody who's following these sports recognizes that times are changing. We're now talking about, for example, the last contract done with the NCAA for ESPN was $7.3 billion. I just looked at a compilation produced in a case against the NCAA. Total revenues in 2018 of the NCAA were $16.9 billion. Now, those are revenues, not profits. But times have changed. And I think our laws need to keep up with our change. So all I can do as a legislator is make the merit-based arguments. I've made a lot of merit-based arguments before, and I've been rejected in the South Carolina General Assembly. And I've made some that we don't pass the bill initially, but we end up passing the bill later. So, it's going to be a process, but we'll keep fighting.
Last one for you. I do want to ask you, Senator Kimson, and we thank you so much for being so gracious with your time. I know you're currently out of the country currently, but I do want to ask you from the standpoint of coaches' salaries, because you mentioned the revenues, not profits. That money, a lot of it is becoming, and many would argue disproportionately becoming, toward the folks inside the athletic department, whether it's athletic directors, whether it's coaches. how would you be in favor of something that involves either a cap or something that better redistributes those monies in a way that could be more in the hands of the student athletes as opposed to the coaches and administrators?
And I think that's a very good question. I am not in favor of a cap. I think it's a market-based approach. I applaud all the coaches for making the salaries that they make. But even paying those salaries, the schools are still very profitable on these sports. So I think that all I'm simply saying is the two are not mutually exclusive. I think you can do both. You can recognize your coaches for achievement, and they're well-earned and hard-working coaches. But also, the coaches would not be in that position but for the player's performance. And it's not any entitlement. It is what justice should require due to the gross inequities of our current system. And so I think you can do both to answer your question. I don't think they are mutually exclusive.
South Carolina State Senator Marlon Kempson out of the District 42, which is, again, in the Lowcountry. We appreciate you coming on with us up here in the Upstate. We wish you and Mr. Bamberg the best of luck with this bill, only because of the fact that it's something that Diesel and I happen to very much support when it comes to your efforts in this regard. I don't think it's a partisan issue. I think it's certainly an issue that involves a lot of inequity in this sport, and it involves taking down the crooked NCAA, which I'm always for. Thank you so much for your time, continued success, and appreciate the time.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.